Okay, thank you all very much for coming out this evening on this rainy Thursday. And we've got kind of a more laid-back and fun and interactive way of going through some of the misconceptions and problems that that people encounter when they're applying, maybe some of the concerns that they all have as I stand directly in front of the presentation. And so we've got this interactive format today where we're going to do three case studies. And I brought Chris Ryan along from Manhattan GMAT to play actors 1 and 3. And this is not a joke, actually. We had a professional actor who's going to come and play number 3. A professional actor also happens to be a friend of mine, and he got called away on work. So Chris was the understudy and is here. And we've got Aaron Foley Schumacher here, who some of you may remember from our past presentation. I see a couple of nods in the crowd, even a couple of smiles. That's good news. And from our last presentation, and she's going to play the part of our second case study. In the meantime, I thought that for those of you who are at Aaron's presentation, I think that the first slide will be a little bit repetitive, but I like to update. I like to tell everyone, talk a little bit always about the current MBA admissions climate before we start with anything else, because it's something that obviously is on everyone's mind. And I would say that yesterday I was at the, actually I was co-chaired the AGAC, the Association of International Graduate Admissions Consultants conference, which was held in New York, and it included a visit visits to NYU and Columbia, and we met with their admissions staff, and it also included visits to Manhattan GMAT. Manhattan GMAT actually hosted a day of that conference, and there were visits from Yale, INSEAD, Darden, Tuck, and I'm missing one off the top of my head here. Oh boy. Well, I'll remember it as we go through. Oh, and Berkeley. There we go. So so we've got some updated stats. So the current MBA admissions climate. So if you'll see, this is 2 years ago. I mean, if we're at the end of the 2008-2009 cycle, 2007-2008 was kind of the end of a boom. There were you're seeing double digit increases at a lot of the top schools that I'm sure many of you are targeting, and I think this was probably the crest. You know, many people still thought the good times were going to go on at that point, and some people were seeing maybe the good times coming to an end, and so you saw a lot of applicants materializing out of nowhere, people trying to get in, get that that big boost from a banking job, and those who thought that it might be going the way of the dodo bird. If you look at, you know, there were definitely, the mortgage crisis was already starting to affect applicants. The U.S. dollar was lower at that time, and that was affecting internationals. Particularly, there were also just, you know, the economy booming in India and China, you know, on a macro level, and then some of the baby boomers were retiring. You know, their investment funds were high at that point, and so all of these factors were leading to this big increase in the number of applicants. And then last year, we started to see maybe the air come out of the bubble a little bit, and you started to see some schools with big increases in the first round, particularly led by domestic applicants. And a lot of that obviously had to do with the mortgage crisis. And then a lot of schools started seeing international applicants because of the inability to get students just completely fall out of the picture. And so, you know, in past, very generous, or not generous, but a very reasonable, should I say, loan program run by Citigroup for all at virtually every major campus, where you could get a no cosigner loan for any international, and that blew up last year right as the season was about to begin, and so a lot of schools were left scrambling for loans for internationals, and you started seeing in round two, you started seeing some decreases. You'll notice up here, you know, Cornell had a decrease of 14% overall. Harvard, if it had a 24% increase in the first round, clearly must have had a significant decrease in the second round, if it was up only 5% overall. And same thing with MIT. It had record volume overall, but it had a decrease in the second round. And I think that you know, things might have peaked in the first round, and we're going to continue seeing a bit of a downward spiral. I don't think it's going to be dramatic. We're not going to see the kind of decreases that are comparable to the increases that we saw years ago. But I still think, and this is from yesterday at the conference, the schools were asked to hypothesize as to what was going to happen in the coming year. And the Chicago line there is not from the conference. It's from an interview that I did with Rose Martinelli last week or a couple weeks ago. If you check out our blog, we'll have more interviews with admissions officers over the next few weeks. But if you look at it, INSEAD was the only school that said they thought applications were going to go up. And I think, you know, that's indicative of the fact that they're really not, although they do have their largest North American class ever at about, I think they said 14% of their class, they're not solely reliant on the U.S. and they're really combing the globe, and they've got teams all over Asia, and they're looking, you know, really all over the place for candidates. I think this is more to do with their marketing efforts. All the other schools, Rose at Chicago said that she thought the applications would be flat to down, and you'll notice every single other school here said that they thought that applications would be flat, and I can tell you that Rose is the courageous one, because when an admissions officer says they think the applications are going to be flat, what they mean is they think the applications are going to be down. They just don't want to say it because it sends the wrong message. So I think that this year we'll see moderate decreases in the number of applicants that are out there, and that means it's a good time to apply. I'm not an economist. I can't tell you what the job market will be like in 3 years when you're graduating from school. But to me, if you're applying when the quality of the pool is the volume is diminishing, that's a great time to be applying. There's a quick question, and then maybe after that we'll hold questions at the end, but go ahead. Right. Well, I think so the question was, and then we'll go through, and we're going to have a long Q&A at the end for anyone who's interested. But the question was, if unemployment is going to continue rising, isn't that when people go back to school? And I think that what we saw during the tech bust is that people became apprehensive about investing making a significant investment, and a lot of people who would otherwise have applied stuck with part-time programs or executive programs that allowed them to keep their jobs because they felt like there was too much of a risk of leaving their job. And like I said, I don't think these numbers are going to fall off a cliff. They're not going to go down by 50%, but they're going to go down. This is just a hypothesis. You very well might be right, but I think I agree with all these admissions officers from going through the last cycle that I think applications are probably going to decrease a little bit, and that's really to your benefit.